So we've been thinking new in 2022 as a church in the last few months. And last Sunday, I read, Psalm 31 was read and recorded by Christians in Ukraine, and I showed it to you as a church. And I asked all of us to go home and to read that psalm before we nodded off to sleep, not during the reading of it, but before you slept. And then I read it again this week and decided that there was so much within this psalm that could speak to us as well. So I threw away what I was going to prepare on new in 2022 and show you that clip again and then draw out some truths from it. So for those of you that weren't here last week, here it is. And for those of you that were here last week, here it is again. And the sound will need to go up, Emmanuel, okay?
Для диригента хору псалом Давидів. На тебе надіюся, Господи, хай не буду повік засоромлений. Визволь мене в своїй правді.
Навели своє ухо до мене, скоро мене порятуй. Стань для мене могутньою скелею, дом твердий, щоб спасти мене.
Твердиня моя і радість моя, сухо ти будеш провадити мене і лікувати мене. Ти витяжеш спасти мене, що на мене таємно поставили, бо ти сила моя. У руку твою долучаю я духа свого, і ти мене визволиш, Господи Боже, правди.
Я зненавидів всіх, хто шанує повбанів марних. Я ж надіюсь на Господа. Я буду радіти та тішитись в Твоїй милості, що побачив Ти горе моє, що приглянувся Ти до скорботи моєї душі.
І мене не віддав в руку ворога, на місці розлоги поставив Ти ноги мої.
Помилуй мене, Господи, бо тісно мені, від горя вже виснажилось моє душа моя і нутро моє.
Бо скінчилось життя моє в смутку, а роки мої у квилінні.
Моя сила спіткнулася через мій гріх, і виснажились мої кості.
Я в усіх ворогів своїх став посміховищем, надто сусідом своїм.
І страхіттям знайомим моїм, хто бачить на дворі мене, утікають від мене. Я забутий у серці, немов той небіжник, став я немов та розбита посудина.
Бо чую багато шептання, страхання навколо, як змовляються разом на мене.
Вони замишляють забрати мою душу.
А я покладаю надію на тебе, о Господи, я кажу, ти мій Бог.
В твою руку кладу свою долю.
Ти ж визволь мене від руки ворогів моїх і моїх переслідників.
Засяй світлом свого обличчя на твого раба. Спаси мене у своєму милосерді. Господи, не дай мені осоромитись, адже я кличу до тебе. Нехай осоромляться нечестиві і змовкнуть у шоолі.
Нехай заніміють обманливі уста, які зухвало зі зневагою наговорюють на праведника. Яка ж велика твоя доброта, яку ти приготував для тих, що тебе шанують та на тебе покладаються. І виявляєш її перед усіма людськими нащадками.
Ти її у заслоні обличчя свого заховаєш від людських тенет. Ти їх від лихих язиків у наметі сховаєш.
Благословений Господь, що вчинив мені милість чудову свою в оборонному місці.
А я говорив у своїм побентеженні. Я відрізаний сперед очей твоїх. Та дійсно, ти вислухав голос благання мого, коли я до тебе взивав.
Любіть Господа, усі святі Його, стереже Господь вірних, а гордому злишком відплачує. Будьте сильні, і хай буде міцне ваше серце, усі, хто надію покладає на Господа. Псалом 31.
So as I thought about that psalm again this week, of course, I thought about the people of Ukraine, and they find themselves in just a truly heartbreaking situation. And there are those Christians out there reading that psalm and believing it and living it out with all that going on around them. And I thought, here we are in such relative peace and comfort. And it really spoke to me. It's a psalm of lament, but it's got some timeless truths within it that sitting in peace and comfort, we need to keep hold of as well and pray those things continually for the people of Ukraine. So let's take a look at Psalm 31. And I've broken it down because it was quite difficult to read the print on their recording. You know, some of those recordings, you know, in dark because there's no light, and it's just amazing. And recording in bunkers, and gosh. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. First of all, David goes straight to God with his tough time. He's working through things in his life. He sounds anxious. He sounds stressed. And we don't actually know, really, what is causing his anxiety here. It might well have been Saul after him. We don't know. Because in verse 4, he says, keep me free from the trap. What was the trap? Very similar word to Paul in Corinthians, who said he had a thorn in the flesh. We don't actually know what the trap was. We don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. But maybe we're not meant to fully know at that point. You know, maybe it's not a bad thing, because it allows us to think trap, thorn in the flesh. This could be me. This could be you. So we don't know. So whatever it looks like, we have it. It's different for everyone. A trap, a thorn in the flesh. But whatever it was for David, he goes right at the beginning and he says, in you, Lord, I have taken refuge. It's a statement of fact. There it is. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. What do you think of when you hear the word refuge? There's refuge for you. But whatever comes to mind when you think of that word, you do think of shelter, protection from danger or distress. And we've heard that word so often in the last few weeks as we've watched in horror as people have looked for refuge in a bunker, refuge in another country. Because for millions this last 2 weeks, this word refuge has become a practical reality. But it's also a spiritual thing, because it's a word that's used lots and lots in the Old Testament. That Psalm 46:1 said this: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And in another psalm, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. And the word throughout the Old Testament for refuge is in the context of something threatening, something that's wrong, something that's dangerous. And we've been reminded in the last few weeks that we live in that sort of dangerous world. At any moment, life can throw its curveballs. Some are horrendous, and some are just minor blips, but they come our way. Where do we go for refuge? Maybe we go there, or maybe we go there. or maybe we go there. None of those are wrong. There's nothing wrong with a plate of chips. There's nothing wrong with a glass of wine. There's nothing wrong with a whole bar of Cadbury's chocolate. Nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with filling your refuge place with work or with social media. There's nothing wrong with those things. But is it always God first that I seek the refuge? God first and then the chocolate. Because for David, it was God first. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. In you. Not in something, but in someone. Why does David go to God for refuge? Because he tells us. He says he's found God to be a fortress. Be my rock or refuge, a strong fortress. That's another interesting word. A fortress, a secure and strong place. You see, these sort of fortresses were made to last. This isn't your plywood from IKEA. This is proper, lasting, strong, safe. You get the idea of a fortress. And David is saying, God, be my fortress. Be my security. Be my strong place that when it rains and when it's windy in my life, that fortress is there. And you see, Grace knows her place of safety. You can always trust Ruth for a photo. Great, Ruth, have you got a photo of Grace? Yeah. Within 10 seconds, I get the photo. Brilliant. But you get the idea that for Grace there, there is her security. There is her safety. The righteous run in. It's a strong tower. And the youth here, I think it was probably Ruth's generation, used to sing, the righteous run in and bump their head. Oh, well, no, now she's being all angelic. It's not. But the righteous run in, they don't bump their head at all. They find in God that security. So God wants to remind you, wants to remind me this morning that he is that place of refuge. He is that fortress. He is that security. Right now, believe it. But secondly, David knows that God will hear. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. You get the sense that this is a bit of an arrow prayer. You get the sense of urgency here from David. Just, I want your full attention, God. Other translations say, incline your ear. So imagine, this one was fixed. Imagine a child sat on her mother's lap and she's trying to watch the television, and child takes the face of mother and says, come on, I want your full attention. Moves the ear. Listen to me. I want your full attention. You get the idea that that's exactly what David was feeling. I want your full attention, God. And we have those moments, don't we? When we know. But we sometimes need to be reminded that God is listening. So David goes straight to God with his tough time. Secondly, David knows that God will hear. But thirdly, David trusts God. Let's read the next bit of the psalm. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love. For you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. Echo of Jesus' words on the cross. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Here is Jesus totally confident in his Father's sovereign control. David has that same feeling of God's sovereign control, and so can we. But he carries on and he says, "As for me, I trust in the Lord." I don't know what everybody else is doing. They're going off for worthless idols. But it's personal. And it's also very bold, isn't it? Very bold thing to say. "As for me, I trust in the Lord." But he meant it. Because, let's be honest here, trusting God's difficult, isn't it? Yeah? But it's easy when you see everything is working out all right. You know, when you have a secure job, when you've got money in the bank, when all the bills are paid, where your marriage is going well, where your children are all serving the Lord and you're all in good health and all those things, and everything's going wonderfully, and you're on that sort of mountaintop, it's quite easy. It's quite honest. Let's be honest, it's easy to trust then, isn't it? The challenge comes when life happens and those blips hit you and you go from the mountaintop to that sort of valley of despair. How do you trust in the Lord when you actually don't know what to do and when it all kicks off in your life? And we could all say, well, this is what I do. This is my experience of trusting God. We'll all have different answers there. But we can trust God every moment. And that's sometimes not an easy concept because we've lost that word in modern speak. You know, who do we trust? Who do we trust now? We become very suspicious with trust. So look at this clip, and I want you in your mind to think alligator or log. You see, because we don't know who to trust, trust has become a tricky thing. And we put God into that no-can-trust kind of category in our lives. But trust is knowing that God won't let you go. Look at this great, great photograph. Right? Yes, you can go. Great photograph. You see, there's an awful lot of trust going on in that photo. Tim is trusting that he will catch Grace. Grace, although she doesn't actually know it, is trusting her father. He's never not caught her yet. And I know that over the years to come, she will continue to know that her father will catch her. Isn't that what it's like with God? God can be trusted. But sometimes we think we can do it our way. One of my heroes, Faith, probably yours as well, was somebody who also lived through atrocity and a concentration camp in Second World War, Corrie ten Boom. And this is a lovely quote of hers. When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. Maybe you've thrown the ticket away. Maybe you've jumped off because. Trust in me, says God. So we've got halfway through the psalm, and for anyone that wants a logical psalm that has nice compartments and it's a bit of OCD language, then I'm afraid this one isn't. Because David has talked all about refuge, he's talked all about fortresses, he's talked all about trust, and then he hits a bleh. He hits a kind of, I'm going to tell you, God, what I'm really feeling. And he pours it all out to God. And here's just a snippet. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I'm in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. This is the same David who's just said, as for me, I'm going to trust the Lord. And I thought about that. I thought, come on, David, you've just told us to trust. But then I thought, no, actually, David, you're actually telling God what it's like. You're actually saying to him, you know, I want you to know, God, how I'm feeling. And I think that's healthy. I think that's okay. We need to tell God as it is. Because in actual fact, he wants to hear that as much as the, please God, do this immediately. We need to hear that. And maybe we also sometimes need to look at the B&Q way of doing things. You can do it under a low bridge, B&Q. Yes, but we can do it. And it is good to pour your heart out. But after all that comes a great big but in this psalm. He reminds himself again of his confidence in God. He's probably looked back and seen what he's written and thought, oh, that's okay, but I need to pick it up here. So he yet again affirms his trust in God. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. There it is again. But I will trust in you, because you, God, are my God. And then he adds this lovely request. Let your face shine on your servant. And as you know, I just love that blessing at the end of a service sometimes. The way that we say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Because in the Bible, the word face actually means God's presence. So when Moses was trundling through on the promised land and he was having a bit of a wobble, God said, my face, my presence will go with you. Let's remind ourselves of that. And then David praises God. He's taken God, he's taken his problems to God. He knows that God will hear. He trusts God. He pours his heart out to God. He trusts God again. And then at the end of the psalm, we have David praises God. Praise be to the Lord, for he has shown me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. You see, we don't see any indication that David's circumstances have changed. But what we do see is that David has worked through what's going on. He's worked through the anguish. He's worked through the pain. He's told God as it is. And he's reminded himself of his faithful God. So he can do nothing more than give God the praise. Praise be to the Lord, for he has shown me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. Imagine saying those words when all around you, you hear gunfire, you hear bombs, you're in a bunker. Praise, for he's shown me the wonders of his love. Quite amazing. And more than that, after that, David says, come on, you people, love the Lord, all his faithful people. You do the same. You praise the Lord. And then he finishes on a really positive note. He says, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Back in March 2000, Pope John II visited Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust memorial in Jerusalem. Another reminder of a world atrocity. And he used Psalm 31 in his speech. And he said this: we are overcome by the echo of the heart-rending laments of so many, but we are not overwhelmed, because we know that evil will not have the last word. Out of the depths of pain and sorrow, the believer's heart cries out, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. And we say those words for the people of Ukraine. We stand alongside them as brothers and sisters. We remind ourselves of those truths, for sure. But we pray those truths for them every single day. Because at the end of Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. And God's people say, amen. 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 Let's stand as we come to our last two songs this morning.